Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 32. This is God's word. Jacob went on his way, and God's angels met him. When he saw them, Jacob said, "This is God's camp." So he called that place Mahanaim. Jacob sent messengers ahead of him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the territory of Edom. He commanded them, "You are to say to my lord Esau, 'This is what your servant Jacob says. I've been staying with Laban and have been delayed until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, and male and female slaves. I've sent this message to inform my lord in order to seek your favor.' When the messengers returned to Jacob, they said, 'We went to your brother Esau. He is coming to meet you, and he has 400 men with him.' Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He divided the people with him into two camps, along with the flocks, herds, and camels. He thought, 'If Esau comes to one camp and attacks it, the remaining one can escape.' Then Jacob said, 'God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, "Go back to your land and to your family, and I will cause you to prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. Indeed, I crossed over the Jordan with my staff, and now I have become two camps. Please rescue me from my brother Esau, for I am afraid of him. Otherwise, he may come and attack me, the mothers and their children. You've said, "I will cause you to prosper, and I will make your offspring like the sand of the sea, too numerous to be counted." He spent the night there and took part of what he had brought with him as a gift for his brother Esau: 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 ewes, 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their young, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys, and 10 male donkeys. He entrusted them to his slaves as separate herds and said to them, "Go on ahead of me and leave some distance between the herds." And he told the first one, "When my brother Esau meets you and asks, 'Who do you belong to? Where are you going? And whose animals are these ahead of you?' Then tell him, 'They belong to your servant Jacob. They are a gift sent to my lord Esau. And look, he is behind us.' He also told the second one, the third, and everyone who was walking behind the animals, 'Say the same thing to Esau when you find him. You are also to say, 'Look, your servant Jacob is right behind us.' For he thought, 'I want to appease Esau with the gift that is going ahead of me. After that, I can face him, and perhaps he will forgive me.' So the gift was sent on ahead of him while he remained in the camp that night. During the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two slave women, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream along with all his possessions. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not defeat him, he struck Jacob's hip socket as they wrestled and dislocated his hip. Then he said to Jacob, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' 'What is your name?' the man asked. 'Jacob,' he replied. 'Your name will no longer be Jacob,' he said. 'It will be Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed.' Then Jacob asked him, 'Please tell me your name.' But he answered, 'Why do you ask my name?' And he blessed him there. Jacob then named the place Peniel. "For I have seen God face to face," he said, "yet my life has been spared." The sun shone on him as he passed by Peniel, limping because of his hip. That is why, still today, the Israelites don't eat the thigh muscle that is at the hip socket, because he struck Jacob's hip socket at the thigh muscle. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, why was Jacob nervous about meeting his brother Esau? Have you ever had relatives who you didn't feel real comfortable around? Maybe there'd been some rivalry in the past. I could tell stories, but I won't. I'll tell one. You know me. My brother John remembers this incident. I don't really remember it. But John was 6 years older than I was. And he did many things that were cruel to me. Mostly playing tricks on me, and I won't tell about those. I'll just tell you what I did to John that I shouldn't have done. I was a preschooler at the time. John says that he was sitting in his room at a desk, and suddenly he felt a horrible, crushing pain on the top of his head. And he looked around to see what had happened, and all he could see was stars for a moment. And then as the room began to come into focus, he saw his little brother holding a toy gun made of metal by the barrel, having come up behind him and hit him over the top of the head. Now, I don't remember that incident. I just know the story. But apparently, John didn't tell Mom what I had done, because John knew the reason that I had done what I did. And he knew that eventually that would come out too, and he thought it was better just to forgive me and move on with life. Now, I get along fine with my brother now, but I want you to suppose that it had been 20 years since you had seen your sibling. And when you left your sibling, the last time you had contact with him, he was looking for an opportunity to murder you. Literally. Okay? Not to hit you, not to insult you, to kill you. That was the goal. Okay? That's the case here. This was not just a relationship that had been strained, where there was rivalry or something. This was a case where Jacob had so infuriated Esau that Esau was determined to kill him. I mean, literally to kill him. Now, that's not okay. I shouldn't have hit my brother with the gun. He shouldn't have done whatever he had done. And yet, this business of siblings not getting along goes all the way back to the beginning of human history. Literally. The very first siblings, Adam and Eve, had two boys, Cain and Abel. And one of them killed the other after worship, because one of them worshiped God in a way that was acceptable to God, and the other worshiped God in a way that wasn't acceptable to God. And when the one who had worshiped unacceptably was jealous of his brother, he decided to kill him. That, sadly, is a picture of the human heart. Apart from God's grace, that's what's inside all of us. We want our own way, and we resent other people. And it can come down to a hatred that has murderous intent. So this problem between Jacob and Esau was not new. It was something that goes way back in human history. And it comes way forward to today. Siblings often don't get along. So does that mean it's okay? I can go ahead and hate my sibling? No, it doesn't mean that at all. What it means is that no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. Got it? God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape so that you may bear up under it.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his
now, Jacob knows in order to obey God and go back home, he's going to have to encounter his brother Esau. So he comes up with a plan. I'm going to give him gift upon gift. And I won't do it all at once. I'm going to let it come to him sort of in waves. All right? This is how I'm going to prepare the way for my meeting with my brother Esau. But he is nervous about it, and I appreciate the fact that he's honest about being fearful. You know, there are some people who try and pretend that they're not feeling any fear at all. Jacob, who had a problem with not being honest, was honest about the fact that he was afraid. And so he prayed, which is a good thing to do if you're feeling fear. And when he prayed, he said, God of my father, Abraham, God of my father, Isaac, the Lord who said to me, go back to your land and your family and I will cause you to prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. Boy, that's progress. You remember how he started out? Saying, okay, God, if you do this and you do this and you do this, then you can be my God. And I'll give you a tenth of everything I get. Now he's saying, God, you have blessed and prospered me, and I don't deserve it. Indeed, I crossed over the Jordan with my staff. Now I've become two camps. I had nothing. Now I'm a rich man. Please rescue me from my brother Esau, for I'm afraid of him. Otherwise, he may come and attack me. The mothers and their children. I did notice the order in which he puts that. You have said, I will cause you to prosper and I will make your offspring like the sand of the sea, too numerous to be counted. Now he's praying to God, but he's already seen something that lets him know God is working supernaturally. Right at the start of the chapter, what did Jacob see? He saw that God was there. How did he know that? Because there were angels there and he could see them. Did you know that there are angels here even though you don't see them? The Bible says God makes his angels ministers on our behalf, that is servants on our behalf. They are at work for us. So when he saw the angels, it says angels met him. I mean, that's just really cool. Angels met him, and he saw and recognized that these were angels, and so he said, wow, God is in this place. This is God's camp, okay? God is manifesting his presence in this place. So when he prays, he's praying to someone that he knows, and he's saying, you said you were going to prosper me. Don't let my brother Esau mess that up. Okay? Please, God, I'm feeling fearful right now. So he spent the night there and took part of what he had brought with him as a gift for his brother Esau. And it lists all these animals. He entrusted them to his slaves as separate herds and said to them, go on ahead of me and leave some distance between the herds. As we said, his strategy was so that Esau would encounter a flock and say, you know, who's? Oh, these are for me. Well, that's nice. And then here's more. Oh, and this is for me. Wow. And then here's more. And it's like, you know, it gets better. And each one is told, that you're to refer to him as my Lord Esau and tell him your servant Jacob is coming. They are a gift sent to my Lord Esau from your servant Jacob. And look, he's behind us. He's coming. You're going to get to see your brother. Don't worry. He's on the way. Just stay calm. After that, he says in verse 20, I can face him. I want to appease Esau with the gift that's going ahead of me. After that, I can face him, and perhaps he will forgive me. So the gift was sent on ahead. Go back to verse 13. He spent the night there, took part of what he brought with him, and sent them on. Verse 21. So the gift was sent on ahead of him while he remained in the camp that night. During the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two slave women, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. Is he having a good night? No. I mean, it's like, okay, everybody, it's time to go to bed. Wait a minute. Here, all right, here's what we're going to do. And he sends the herds on. And then he says, okay, now. And then after he's gone to bed again, he says, just a minute, I've got another idea. So he gets up and gets the family across the river. All right? You guys, go to the other side. I want everybody to be safe. So I'm sending you on ahead of me. Don't miss that. Okay? He says, I'm sending you. I want to protect you. I'm just going to stay back here at the back. All right? Say, well, at least he split them up so that only half of them would get killed. Yeah. Champ. What a champ. So he sends everybody on ahead. And now, Jacob is alone, except for this guy, this mysterious man. And he wrestles with him all night. Does that seem peculiar to you? Verse 24, Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. What? I thought he was alone. What's the deal here? Well, remember those angels that he'd seen? God was camped there, in a sense. And the presence of God being manifested through the servant of the Lord wrestles with Jacob. How did that start? You know? It's like, you're on my bedroll. You know? Move. No. I mean, there's no explanation. It's just, they wrestled all night. I would have said, okay, you win. This is mysterious. There is no clear explanation for this. It's just what was happening. And very, very peculiar. The one he's wrestling with could not, it says, that's the translation, could not overcome him. It's almost as if God had humbled himself to a position of weakness. Now, he's not entirely without resources, because when it's time for him to go, he touches Jacob's thigh, and Jacob suddenly finds himself crippled. Okay? I think if he could do that, he probably could have rendered Jacob quadriplegic instantly. This is not a situation where we discover that God doesn't really have all power. It is a situation where we see God manifesting his power in the context of human frailty. Please get that. And so he wrestles with Jacob. And Jacob is winning. Have you ever seen a father wrestle with his child? Have you ever seen the kid grabbing on and feeling like he's winning? Somebody said, not at my house. It's not the way we do it. But I'm telling you, God often puts himself in the position of saying, okay, I'm going to let you prevail. God has all power. God spoke the universe into being, but here his power is being manifested in weakness. And yet it's not a weakness that leaves God unable to accomplish his purpose. He actually accomplishes his purpose very nicely. Because Jacob, who was terrified, has now prevailed. He's wrestled like he undoubtedly did numerous times in youth with his twin. And whereas Esau was this formidable, scary, hairy man, now Jacob gets to feel like the winner. And God says, let me go. Jacob says, I won't let you go. God says, how about if you can't walk? I love the image of the morning light starting to come, and Jacob is walking off with a limp. Please read it. Verse 31, the sun shone on him as he passed by Peniel, which is just a variation on Peniel, limping because of his hip. Now, if I was going to face somebody who I was afraid might hurt me, I wouldn't want to be limping, okay? I'd want to be able to at least run, right? But God makes it so that he's limping, and yet he feels like a conqueror. Because God says, you have wrestled with man and with God and have prevailed. Jacob asked, please tell me your name. But he answered, why do you ask my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob said, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been spared. Do you think he felt better than he did before the night began? Absolutely. He knows that something supernatural has happened. And even though he's limping, God has not only validated him as someone who can win, but God has given him a new name. Your name will now be Israel, which sounds like, in Hebrew, he struggled with God. Jacob wasn't saying, don't make me go back home. He wasn't asking permission to go back to Uncle Laban. He was wanting to go on the journey, but he really was afraid of Esau. He had a plan, but it wasn't enough. He had gifts that he was sending ahead, but it was still a scary place to be. He hadn't seen his brother in 20 years. And his brother had wanted to kill him. So now, he wrestles with the only one who is worthy of fear. And God says, okay, you got me. The amazing grace of God that he would make himself subject to human force so that we could be reconciled to him. Jesus came and allowed himself to be tortured and killed. And yet, he told his disciples, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down willingly. And he conquered death. He is Lord. And that's the only hope for any of us, no matter what we're facing today.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.